We're in Proverbs 10, Proverbs 10, so you can make your way over there. We're going to be talking about words this week, about words written, spoken, all of the above. But I took a quiz this week, actually. I haven't taken a quiz in a while. I took a quiz this week, and the quiz was, should you start a podcast? That was the quiz I took. And it was two questions long. And the answer to the quiz, the question was, do you have something to say that no one else in the history of the world has ever said? If it was yes, then it said you shouldn't start a podcast because you're lying. And if it was no, you shouldn't start a podcast because everyone's already talked about what you said. Anyway, it was a funny quiz because I don't know if you know this. There are 4.5 million podcasts in the world. 4.5 million podcasts. Everyone's got a podcast, apparently. And Americans, I researched this, listen to 773 million hours of podcasts per week. 773 million hours of podcasts are listened to in America per week, which is 32 million days worth of podcasts in a week, which is also 88,000 years. 88,000 years of podcasts are listened to every week in America. And if you take average words per minute of 150, which is average talking speed for most podcasters, it's 7 trillion words. So that means that America as a country listens to 7 trillion words every single week, which is crazy. And that's not including songs. That's not including TV. That's not including friends and conversations. That's just podcasts. So our country listens to 7 trillion words every week. And now those words, right, some of them are super helpful. Some of them are garbage. Some of them are useful. Some of them are inspirational. Some of them are just fun, right? But there's a lot of words out there. And your words, right, you speak about 700 times, depending on the average, a day. You speak about 7,000 words to anywhere to maybe 20,000 words per day. Your words can be worthless or they can be priceless. They can really be anywhere in between, but they're never meaningless because your words always matter, whether you think they do or not. Your words always matter. And what we're going to see tonight is that you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to use my words in a valuable way, a way that is important, a way that's helpful, a way that's meaningful. Okay. So we're going to be in Proverbs 10, verse 20. Okay. And here's what it says. It says the tongue, right? That's a metaphor for the words of a righteous person is choice silver, right? It's like super awesome. It's valuable. It's important. It's great. But the heart of the wicked is of little worth, right? So not very important, not very helpful, not very valuable, right? Worthless. You don't even care. What we see here is that your words can be impactful and good, or they can be worthless, right? No one should listen to you ever. And what we're going to see is that your words actually aren't just more or less helpful to some people. They're actually even more important than that. What Proverbs says is that death and life are at stake with your words. Maybe you don't think about that, but that's our first point. We don't underestimate the power of words. Don't underestimate the power of words. They can't just be, they're valuable, right? But they're also impactful. They also accomplish things. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, right? You, with your speech, are making life or death decisions, potentially, with how you talk, right? It could be physical, right? We saw that in the news a couple months ago. There was someone your age who died because of words. There was a conversation at the high school, right? That there was the news. I mean, this happened a year ago, right? But the news was 2 months ago that they finally had a trial. But that started with words, right? They didn't start with a war. It didn't start with actions. It started with things that were said. And it resulted in someone killing someone, a high schooler killing another high schooler, right? So words can have a big impact. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, but not just in their impact, but also in how they affect people. Right? When you open your mouth, you are either moving people in a life direction or in a death direction. Right? We've talked about this in the book of Proverbs. There's like two paths, right? There's the life path, which is God's way, right? God says, if you follow me and my instructions for you, my directions, my wisdom, it gives you life, right? Not just like, oh, you live forever or you live really long, but life in terms of quality, right? God loves you and his words for you, right? His wisdom for you is for your good, right? That's why he gives us commands. And that's why he gives us wisdom, instruction, is for us to live his way, which is the best way to live. Or your words are moving people in the opposite direction, the death direction, away from the Lord. They're tearing people down. They're discouraging people from paying attention to God, right? They're distracting people from God. Your words are doing one of two things at all times. They're moving people one way or the other. Maybe you don't think about it, but similar idea here. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, right? Someone who is speaking God's way is life-giving, right? You wanna be around them. They're the type of person whose words help you. They're important to you. They mean good things for you. They push you in the right direction. You talk about the right type of things. They make you excited for things that you should be excited about. But the mouth of the wicked conceals violence, right? Then maybe they're just talking. Maybe you think, oh, they're just fun to hang out with, or they're really funny, or I like listening to them. But really what they're doing is they're attacking you because they're distracting you from the Lord, or they're promoting things that replace God in your life. And that's not just, oh yeah, that's good for some people, good for others. It's actually violent. That's bad for you. It's killing you. That's what's happening when people talk. They're either giving life or they're attacking you. Or they're either healing you or tearing you down. And your words are doing the same thing to other people. Every time you talk, you are either giving someone life or you are being violent to them. You're hurting them by the things that you say. Right? There's a life direction and a death direction, right? There's no neutral direction, right? It made me think of, I don't know if you guys played Mario Kart back on the Wii, you know, but you remember Toad Factory with the things on the ground, right? You wanted to be on this one, right? Unless you got hit by that would be bad. But you want to be moving in the good direction, right? You want the boost. Right, you don't want to be going this way because then you're going backward. If you just want the safe route, you're like, oh, I'm just going to go in the middle and not worry about the things that flatten you. Right, that's what some people did. Right, you play it safe, you don't worry about it. This person obviously stinks at Mario Kart, so they don't know what they're doing. But in your words, your conversations, there's no middle ground. There's no regular road. There's only this one or that one. Every word you say is either like this, pushing people forward, giving them life, or it's pushing them back, distracting them from God. There's not this regular road with your words. There's only one or the other. There's only two options. Well, that's what I want you to see, is when you talk to someone, or when you talk about someone, or when you listen to someone, right, those words are either the green arrows saying, this is life-giving, or they're the red arrows saying, this is killing you. There's only two options, right? You can't just play it safe and, oh, I'm just not gonna talk about anything meaningful and that's fine. Right? Because that's actually distracting people from God, right? Your words are powerful and so is your listening, right? Your listening, what you listen to, is also related to words. Your listening really shapes who you are. You're a product of all the words that have ever been said to you. You think about that? Every single word that's ever been said to you has conveyed an idea or a tone or a value, and it shaped you into who you are today. You're like a pot of soup, and everyone's been pouring ingredients in with their words your whole life. And the flavor you are, right, the type of soup you are, is a product of all the ingredients that have been poured in there. All the words that you've ever listened to, all the sentences, all the ideas, all the paragraphs, all the things you've read, all the things you've watched, all the things you've heard, have shaped you. Your listening is really you becoming who you're gonna be. Every time you listen to something, you're making a decision. Who am I going to be? Your words have power. And other people's words have power too. And that's what God wants you to see, that words are one of the most important things in your life. Maybe you think, well, my words don't seem like that, right? they don't seem like they're doing much. I speak and no one listens, or I speak and people make fun of me, or I speak and maybe sometimes people listen. But little by little, they are accomplishing something. They're shaping you, they're shaping others. And that's what God wants you to see, is that your words have power, right? They impact people and you are impacted as well. And the reason your words are so important is because they're related to your heart. You notice this in Proverbs, there's always the parallel, right? There's like first half, second half. And so we've got, okay, little worth is contrasted with choice silver, right? So those are the same kind of idea. Silver is good, little worth is bad, right? This is parallel contrast, right? Wicked, righteous. Okay, so far these are all opposite, but they're related, right? And then we have tongue and heart. What God says about your words and your heart is that your words reveal who you really are. And you're going to see this in your small group questions. But what Jesus says is that you know someone's heart from what they say and how they say it. So your words and your heart are inseparable, right? Your words reveal who you really are, what you love, what you think is important, what you care about, right? That's your heart. When you receive heart in the Bible, it's kind of the center of who you are. Your loves, your values, your desires, your ambitions, that's your heart. And so the parallel is not, oh, the words of the wicked are little worth. The heart is, because the heart and the words are connected. They're interchangeable in this sentence, because what we're trying to see here is that your words come from your heart, right? Your heart is the source of your words. And so point two is focus on the source of your words. Focus on the source of your words, right? Your words come from your heart and they show what your heart is really like. I don't know if you've ever said something and you said, oh, I didn't really mean that. Right? You ever say something and you're like, oh, that's not really what I meant. Right? Which sometimes maybe is true, but really you did mean to say it, right? Maybe you didn't mean to mean it the way the other person thought you meant it, but you did mean to say it, right? Or maybe I remember when I was in first grade, someone taught me all the bad words, right? There was a kid at my school. This is why parents homeschool their kids. There's a kid at my school. He taught me all the bad words, right? So now they're in me, right? I know them. And me being a first grader and being selfish and being a sinner, right? I decided to use them and attack people with my words. Now, did learning the bad words make me a bad kid? No, right? I was a bad kid before I had the bad words, right? The bad words just gave me weapons, right? But I was already a selfish kid who wanted to put people down, right? But now I just decided to you know, use the nuclear weapons of the playground and attack people with my bad words, right? The words didn't make me bad. I was already bad and now I'm just using them, right? The words gave me an opportunity to exercise my badness, right? It came from my heart. Someone didn't just drop the bad words into me and be like, oh, now Lewis is a bad kid. No, right? I was already a bad kid and the bad words gave me a way to express that in an even more obvious way. Your words always come from your heart. No one just drops the words in your mouth and you're like, oh, where did that come from? It came from you. And when you say something, or maybe the tone you said it with, right? If you're driving and someone cuts you off, that tone didn't come from that person cutting you off. It came from you, from your heart. Or when you drop something or someone annoys you and you snap at them, that tone didn't come from, oh, that my brother's really annoying, I just can't help it. No, that anger in your tone or the frustration came from you, from your heart. Right? They didn't make you do it. They just give you an opportunity to express that. And so when we want to talk about our words, what we really want to talk about is our heart, because that's where everything comes from, right? If you want to change your words, you need to start with the heart, because you can just change all the external words and it's not going to do much for you. It's kind of like when I thought of the word source, because we were talking about Minecraft last week. You know when you play Minecraft and you see lava, right? And you got to get the source block to stop the lava, right? Because if you got a bucket, you can't pick up all the lava. If you try to pick up the lava in the bucket, it doesn't take it away. The lava just stays there. You have to find this. There's one block that's like the source block of the lava. You pick that up, all the lava goes away, right? If you climb to the top of this thing and found the source block and picked up the lava, all the lava goes away, right? I don't even know if you guys play Minecraft. I know some of you do. Okay, great. I was unsure if like you guys are too cool for Minecraft. You move on to bigger and better things. No one's too cool for Minecraft, okay? You'll find that, same with Pokemon, now like Pokemon's coming back. You're never too cool for that. Anyway, point is, right? You can try to change your words. You can be like, well, I'm just gonna substitute, you know, that word that kind of sounds like a cuss word for instead, and that way it's gonna like be better. It's like, okay, well, that doesn't change your heart, right? That's you just taking your bucket and trying to take up this lava, right? It's not doing anything. Like, well, okay, I said dang instead of, you know, or I said gosh instead of, right? Not helping, because it's about the heart, right? To change your words, you really need to change your heart. Because if you weren't selfish and angry at people, you wouldn't even need those words. So if you try to, maybe you just say, oh, well, I'm just not gonna say those words around those type of people, right? Again, not a heart solution, right? You're just trying to block the lava in or you know, take the lava out from the sides. Your heart is really what you see when your words come out. So if you see a lot of complaining words in your life, that's a heart problem. You're ungrateful, right? Or if you see a lot of angry words or impatient words, that's a heart problem. That's not I just need to stop yelling at people, like, or stop complaining. It's like, yeah, well, you need a grateful heart. That's what you need. You don't just need to stop complaining. So what happens is it's kind of like you're a cup, and when you get bumped, what's inside your heart comes out, right? So the bumps, right, that's maybe stress. You're like, oh, I was just so stressed, I just snapped and I got mad. It's like, well, the stress just drew out that from your heart. It was already there. The stress didn't create that. Or maybe when you're happy, you get really selfish. Maybe you're happy, you forget about other people, or you forget about God. That's bumping you, and it's showing you, oh, I'm actually just selfish. I forget about God when things go well. Or maybe there's conflict, right? There's a problem with someone, and you start gossiping about them, right? That's coming out of your heart. The conflict bumped you, and now the gossip came out. The gossip was already in there. The conflict didn't create that. And obviously, it goes with good things as well. Maybe there you have a success in your life, and now you're bragging. The bragging is the result of the pride being in your heart before the success came. Right, so it's always a heart issue. And maybe you're thinking, well, why do I care so much about words? It's like, you know, people say actions speak louder than words, right? Isn't that more important? Isn't there a parable that Jesus said about, you know, isn't it better to be the guy who said he wouldn't obey and then obeyed versus the guy who said he would obey and then didn't obey? Isn't that in the Bible? What about that? Well, if you think about that, deceptive words are also from your heart. Right? So if you're saying, well, you know, I know my words aren't very Christian, or my words aren't very humble, or my words aren't very loving, but my actions really are. Well, then that's showing that your heart is divided, because your words are saying one thing, and your actions are saying the other thing. So your deceptive, divided words are actually coming from a deceptive and divided heart. Because maybe you're like, well, you know, I really care about them, but and they know I love them, but I just say really mean things to them. That's a heart problem. Because if you really cared about them, you would also love them with your words, not just your actions, right? It's like, well, yeah, my siblings know I love them, and I just, you know, say mean things to them all the time. Or my friends, you know, we just mess with each other. We're, you know, we don't really mean it. They know I don't mean it. Right? That's a heart problem. Because if you really love them, you would love them with your words, and you make it really obvious that you cared. You wouldn't leave them guessing, oh, well, yeah, I guess they say they might love me because they say they really love me, but they make fun of me all the time and they tear me down all the time. So if you say one thing but live another thing, that means your heart's divided too, right? So yes, actions do speak louder than words, but your words still matter because your words are also speaking as well as your actions. So that leaves us, right? What do I do about my words then, right? Okay, so we know that my words are important. My words matter. God really cares about my words. My words show who I am. They come from my heart. It's not just word problems. Word problems are heart problems. They're not those kind of word problems, you know, that you don't like in math class. So what do I do with my words? Well, our responsibility with our words, our opportunity, right, is to use our words for God's glory, right? To use our words to accomplish things, right? Productive, good things. So our third point, pretty simple. Use your words for good. Use your words for good. Now, obviously, we have to define good, right? We would say good is glorifying God and loving others, right? That's good. Use your words for good. And this isn't just like, oh, well, my parents told me to use my words for good, so I guess I have to, right? This is an opportunity. You have an opportunity to bless people with your words, to love people, to bring people to Jesus with your words, to help people see more of how great Jesus is, to help people trust God more, to help people learn wisdom, God's wisdom from your words, right? You have such an amazing opportunity. I have such an amazing opportunity with my words to do stuff like this with the thousands of words you say every day, right? It's not just like, oh, I have to, but it's more fun to be mean to people. It's like, no, it's actually way more fun and way cooler to be life-giving with your words, right? No one wants to hang out with someone who's complaining all the time or who's angry all the time or who's boasting all the time. No one wants to be with those people. Now, using your words for good is the best way to do it. In Proverbs 12, verse 18, it says there's someone whose rash words, right? So careless words, thoughtless words, are like sword thrusts. I just love the picture, right? When you say words without thinking, it's like you're stabbing someone with a sword. And I know we've all felt that, right? You've all been there. Someone says something in a heated moment and it really sits with you. You remember it. There's things that people have said to you that you remember for the rest of your life because they stabbed you with their words. There's someone whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise, right? The words of someone who's wise, they bring healing, right? They're good for people. You want to be around someone who talks like this. You want to be around someone who isn't careless with their words, but who's careful, who's loving, who's kind, who's gentle, who's loyal. I read one book about words and what the author said. He said, your words are participating in a war, okay? There's two kingdoms in this war. There's God's kingdom and there's your kingdom. And I thought this is a really helpful way to think about it. There's words, right? And my words are either serving myself or they're serving God. All right, I'll give you an example. Let's say you get homework and you're like, this is way too much homework. This is terrible. Why did my teacher do this? This is the worst, right? Your complaining is serving your kingdom, right? Because what really the complaining comes from is, this isn't the way I want it to be, right? I want my life to be easy. I want my homework to be easy. I don't have to try. I want to have time to do other things, right? The homework has inconvenienced you. It's bothered you. It's messed up your plan for your week and your day. And so then what you say is, I'm going to complain and I'm going to use my words to serve myself, right? There's nothing productive that happened from you complaining, right? That's your words serving your own kingdom, right? Or you can use your words to serve God's kingdom. You can say, you know what? I'm not going to complain about this. I'm going to trust that God knew my teacher was going to give me this much homework and that he's going to use it for good, even if it's really hard, even if I don't understand it, even if I don't like it. I can trust that my loving father cares about me enough that he's going to have me do hard things that are good for me. And I want a God like that. I don't want a God that gives me everything I want. And so I'm going to trust him, right? Those are God's kingdom building words. So you see how you can go one of two ways, right? But there's no middle ground there. So there's rash words or worthless words, right? Like complaining or grumbling or gossip or starting division, right? Or quarreling, right? Arguing with people. There's like lying, boasting, right? These are all ways that you can build your own kingdom with your words. Flattering people, right? Telling them compliments that aren't really true, you don't really mean. Harsh words, we talked about that, right? Rude words, deceptive words, arrogant words, hateful words, angry words, right? These are angry birds, not angry, you know what I mean? These are all words that build your kingdom, right? Because you're putting other people down so you can feel good, right? Or you are putting yourself up, right? You're boasting, you're prideful. Or maybe it's blasphemy. Maybe you take God's name in vain, right? Maybe you use Jesus' name like a curse word. That's a worthless use of your words, right? You're taking God's name and you're using it for something evil, right? An expression of your sinful anger. So those are worthless words, and maybe, you know, certain ones of those stuck out to you. But then there's valuable words, right? Precious words, beautiful words. And maybe that's praising God, or maybe it's being thankful, or maybe it's encouraging, or maybe it's sharing the gospel, right? That's a good use of your words. Or rebuking someone, calling someone out in love, right? Or instructing someone, passing on something you've learned to someone. Those are good uses of your words. Gentle words, right? Joyful words, loving words, faithful words, patient words, humble words, right? These are valuable. Like, everyone wants those words. When you think about it, you don't want to be around someone who's grumbling, who's dividing, who's angry, who's arrogant, who's flattering. You don't want to be around that person. And you don't want to be that person either. But you want to be around the person who's gentle, who's patient, who's faithful, who's joyful. Those are the words you want to be around. Well, how do you do it? How do you do that? Well, talk about heart change, but part of it also is thinking. I'm going to put a couple of different verses up on the screen for you, but I want you to see what they have in common, okay? So Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous ponders, right? That means they think about it, how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things, right? So someone who's righteous, who's using their words well, is thinking about it. They're using their words on purpose. Whereas the mouth of the wicked, they're just dumping them out. Right, we were hanging out with Beckham, Matt's son, this weekend, and he doesn't take his toys out very carefully, right? He just takes the bag and he just goes, boom, right? They're all out. Maybe that's you with your words. You just have to say whatever you're thinking. It just comes out. Right, you just dump them out on whoever's listening, or maybe no one's listening, and you just dump them out anyway, right? And that includes this, all these words, right? This includes stuff you text, by the way, right? That's still words that God sees and God knows and everyone else can find too, by the way. Just because it's on your phone doesn't mean it's private. Or posting things, right? These are all words. They're real words that you're really saying. Just because it's typed out doesn't change that. And then parallel here, right? You see a man who's hasty in his words, who's quick. I always think, when I think of hasty, I think of, what's his name? Pippin from Lord of the Rings, right? He's like, there is more hope for a fool than for him. And that's, you wouldn't think this is a bad idea. Oh, someone who's quick with their words, someone who fires off things quickly. What's wrong with that? Well, Proverbs says, you're actually better off being foolish than just shooting off whatever you think needs to be said. Big deal with your words. Two more, similar idea. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Maybe that's you. You always have to give your opinion. You don't want to hear someone else's thoughts. You don't ask questions. You just want to give. You just want to say, oh, here's what I think. I don't like that, or I do like this. You don't want to understand someone else's perspective. You just want to give yours. That's foolish. That's worthless, right? That's dumb to do that. Same thing a few verses later. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame, right? It's embarrassing. You ever say something when you didn't have all the facts, right? You thought you had it all figured out and you're like, oh yeah, duh. And someone else comes along and gives you more information and you're like, oh, I look real dumb right now. Right? That's what it's like to be someone who speaks quickly all the time. So to use your words well, they have to be thoughtful. They have to be on purpose. You don't just want to fire them off whenever you feel like it. So I put together some questions to ask before you speak. I tried to do a who, what, where, when, why, and we don't have time to go through all of it. But just thinking about this, right? Maybe you think before you say something, who is this for? Am I saying this to make myself look good? Or am I saying this to make God look good? Am I saying this for their benefit or my benefit? Right? Am I just saying this so I can give my take on things? Or am I saying this because it's actually helpful for these people to hear? Right? Who is this for? Similar, right? What am I trying to get? Have you ever thought about that? When you speak, you're trying to get something. Maybe you've never thought about that before. When you speak, you're trying to get, maybe it's attention, maybe it's laughs, maybe it's you want to get your point across, maybe it's you want to make someone feel a certain way, maybe it's you want to protect yourself, maybe you need to stand up for your reputation and your rights. You're always trying to get something when you talk. So what are you trying to get? Is it, because then you can ask, okay, am I being selfish with this? Is this really, am I trying to get someone else's good out of this? Or am I trying to just win an argument and be right? Where will this lead? Right, this is, obviously, there's a lot of times you get angry, you say something, you might as well just, if you waited 3 more seconds, you would have thought about it and like, you know what, this is gonna snowball and create a giant explosion, right? Where will this lead? Or maybe it'll change the, maybe you're in small groups, you can apply this very soon. Maybe you're in small groups and you think of something really funny to say, but you know it's gonna derail the conversation and distract people. Where will this lead? Is this helpful? Because really sometimes when you're, and it's okay to be fun in small groups, right? But if you totally derail, that's a violent use of your words because you are distracting people from a potentially life-changing conversation, right? You are hurting people. You could be, right? You could be building group chemistry and having fun, but you think about it. Was this good to say? Is this a good time to make this joke? This one, you'll see this in small groups too. When I stand before God, what will he say? Jesus says in Matthew 12, you will be judged for every careless word you speak. Every word you said, right? Imagine that. Every word you said, God's gonna be like, why'd you do that? Why'd you say that? Why'd you say it like that? Why didn't you say this? I don't know if he's gonna do it exactly like that. I don't know if it's gonna be like a film review of all your words, right? That would stink. But he says you'll be judged for him. When I stand before God, am I gonna be proud of saying this? Am I gonna be proud of making this joke or making that comment or answering like that or talking to my parents like that? How is that gonna go? And this one, right? Well, why do I need to say this, right? It's similar to what am I trying to get? And then how will this affect others, right? And that's the main thing is a lot of the times our words are all about ourselves, right? Our words are for our kingdom, our priorities, our values. And that's really what this is all about is your words are an opportunity, right? This isn't supposed to be, maybe you do need to feel really bad after this sermon, but it also is you have an opportunity to do so much good with your words, to be such a good friend with your words, to be such a good sibling with your words, such a good kid to your parents, such a blessing to them with your words. You could share the gospel with someone. Those are life-changing words, right? You could teach someone something really wise and really impactful for them. You have such an amazing opportunity with your words. And so I hope you don't miss it or waste it on worthless and careless words. Let's pray and let's use our words well in small groups. Father, we're grateful that you have given us your word, that you have given us your son, the perfect expression of who you are, that when we see Jesus in your word, the Bible, we see everything we need to see from you. We see all of who you are perfectly as you want us to see you. And so we're grateful that you've made yourself known to us, that you've given us, as Peter says, the words of life, the gospel and the Bible, so that we can live the way you've designed us to live, and that we can have the grace we need to trust you, to follow you, and to live with you forever. And so I pray that you help all of us to use our words for good. Help us to use our words for things that matter, and help us to evaluate what our words say about our own hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.